Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Spoke about wisdom last time I spoke. I felt to continue that. I have been studying the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastics this whole year, and man, there's so much stuff in there. I probably could do it for the next 10 years and still be learning stuff. I mean, that's the beauty of God's word too. You could read it and then you read it again. You're like, wow, I never saw that before. There's a couple things I'm going to share with you that I just never made those connections before today. Let me just start here in Matthew. This verse always it amazes me, because if you think about this, right? So Matthew 7, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." So if you call God, "I'm a Christian, God's my father," that's what it's saying, "I'm following God." "But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So the only one who will enter the kingdom of heaven is the one who does the will of God, right, of Father. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" This is amazing to me. Think about, if you're prophesying, right, and you bring this tremendous word, or you, tell somebody something that's going to affect the rest of their life and, put them on the right direction. That's what, prophecy is all about, right? And if you drove out a demon, right, out of somebody, right, you brought healing to somebody, that's really this type of stuff that God wants us to do. That's bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And then miracles, right? You perform many, many miracles. And you do these things, and then still, how could you, what is that? How is that possible? How can somebody be able to be doing God's will, it seems like, right, but still not consider that person a daughter or a son, right? And I believe what it is really the intent of the heart. You could do something really good with the wrong motives, right? It could look really good, and why are you doing it? And also, throughout time, we've seen people who have been used by God that have also been living a double life, where they're doing all these horrendous things, abusing children or having an affair outside. These are people who have built tremendous ministries. We've seen them fall. I don't have to name the names. You know them, right? And there's probably some of that going on right now. But God gives gifts to men, right? And it's still, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And he still uses people. It's just mind-boggling to me how he still continues to use people, even though they might be living a duplicitous life, right? A double-minded man is unstable in all their ways, right? But still, these things happen. So I believe that one of the ways to insulate yourself from doing good things for God, and in the end, him not considering you to be in his kingdom, is really to take a hold of wisdom and understand that, and that's what we're gonna look at here. So, real quick, wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. It's insight. I like that. Or lasting, right? Something that lasts. That's God's word is something that lasts, right? Can we agree on that? Amen. Common sense and good judgment, which isn't lacking a lot nowadays. Yeah. Common sense. I mean, there's so much stuff. I was just reading an article about, it was talking about abortion and how, it was in a Wall Street Journal. I read the Wall Street Journal, right? And it was saying that, it was talking about politics and the politics of abortion, and now that, this is, yesterday was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade being overturned, which was an awesome day, right? I think is awesome, because to have, babies destroyed, how many millions of babies have been destroyed because of this lack of common sense, lack of sound judgment, lack of wisdom, embracing lies, you know. But it's still said that a majority of people think that, the voting public in America still think that, well, abortion should be okay in the first trimester. And then after the first trimester, you know, second and third, a majority of people think, even it's only, I think it's only like 55% of people believe that it shouldn't be allowed, right? That's 55. So there's like, you know, still like, you know, 45% of people who still think like in the second trimester. And, you know, in some states, even after a baby's born, they could still take its life. It's sick. Yeah, New Jersey, New York. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, there's a lot of lack of common sense, good judgment, and alignment that you could have with the spirit of death as opposed to the spirit of life. I mean, that's a lack of wisdom and common sense and, you know, everything that's good. So here's some really good stuff for you. My son. So Proverbs was like written by Solomon, right, to his son. He had multiple sons, right? So, but it's really written to us too. And, you know, a son or a daughter, you know, take it. It's for you. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it's basically calling, you know, seeking it with all your heart. It's kind of like what Sue was saying when she mentioned that, when she gave that little message, right, about like, hey, if you're invited to an event, you prepare for it, and what Anna was saying, and then, you know, you're there and you seek it out, like you really want to be there, right? And that's what it's saying. If you really want wisdom and you really want understanding, right, you seek for it like you would silver. Like, hey, if you lost something, right? How many of you ever misplaced your cell phone, right? And you're looking, oh, is it here? Is it there? Is it there? Find my phone, you know? you seek it out, and then it's valuable to you. You need it. You know, you feel like you need it. This is understanding and knowledge of God. How much more should we seek this out? For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. So, you know, blamelessness is not never making a mistake, because we all make mistakes, right? Everybody who follows the Lord makes mistakes. Blamelessness is, I know, you know, when I have made a mistake or sinned, I ask God for forgiveness and I get back on the rails, right? And I don't like put it on the side and just keep on going forward when I know it's something that's contrary to God. So that's, you know, he's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. And how do we walk blamelessly? We walk blamelessly because we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. That's how you walk blamelessly, because you cannot earn it, right? We know that you cannot earn it. You can only accept it, right? So I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. Everybody who names the name of Jesus Christ is covered in the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb washes away every sin, right? And covers us, you know? That's how we're blameless, right? If you think you're doing it on your own, I think that's also a Lord thing. You know, I did these miracles, but, you know, it was me, man. It was me. Like, I gave this, you know, great prophecy. It was me. No, everything comes from God, right? Everything comes from God, right? It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit in you, you know, delivering it. If I say anything that touches you today, you know, yeah, God's using me to do that, but it's the Holy Spirit that's giving me the thoughts, that giving me the words, that's giving me the insight to share with you, right? When I embrace it myself, that's when I'm off the rails I'm not being blameless. Then you'll understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. It is good, right? I mean, if you're walking in wisdom, it's like, you know, you're building yourself up. You're making yourself like powerful, right? To live this life the way God wants you to do. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. And there's a lot of perversity out there. I mean, insane amount of perversity that we've never seen. I mean, there's, you know, sports teams who are bringing in these ungodly people who are, like, you know, blaspheming, you know, the church. And they're embracing them and celebrating them at a sporting event, right? I mean, that's like, you know, whoever put the thought in a person's mind for the public relations department to say this is a good thing to do? I mean, it's like insanity, right? Or the thing with the whole Budweiser thing. I mean, you got lack of wisdom. I mean, you ask anybody like that, that wouldn't have blown up. Like, anybody who has insight and wisdom would know that is a foolish thing to do. You know, they use that person who's making believe that they're a woman when they're not, and as a spokesperson for, you know, I'm not promoting beer here, but I'm just saying that that's another lack of wisdom thing that's so prevalent in society, right? Thank God there are people that are, you know, starting to, you know, revolt against that type of stuff. How do you get wisdom? Well, the beginning is the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but I really like this. This, and I read this the last time I spoke on wisdom, but I want to read it again because I think it's really awesome. In the Amplified Version, it says, because the fear of the Lord is not, I'm afraid God's going to strike me down, right? It's that kind of thing it says over there. God's in a good mood. I declare, God's in a good mood. Amen. Jesus' blood paid for everything. It's that kind of fear of reverence. That's really... So the reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, and He is truly awesome. I mean, I think we were all doing that in worship today, right? God is truly awesome, is the beginning and preeminent part of wisdom. Understanding that God's awesome, understanding that God has His best intentions are for you, its starting point and its essence, and the knowledge of the Holy One, understanding and spiritual insight. That's the fear of the Lord, right? The reverent fear. And James, James says that if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God, because He'll give it in abundance to you, right? If you lack wisdom, you ask Him for insight, He'll give you insight. God always answers those prayers, right? If you ask for wisdom, if you're struggling with something, God will give it to you, either through, you know, hearing a song, a message, somebody else encouraging you, you know? So, this is a little bonus thing, a little off the... So this is not like a part of my message, but I was just looking this up. Yesterday was my wife's birthday, right? So I sent a text. I know. I sent a text to our... We have a family chat, right? And I put in, you know, my wife makes our house a family, right? She's really the main one, right? It's not me. It's her. But in the end, I said, you know, this is a proverb, right? I found a good thing. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure. A treasure. Not a buried treasure. I joke around. Sometimes I just, I don't know how come I always have to say something like this, but I guess I just part of my personality. I say, you're a real treasure, Ronnie. I want to take you out back and bury you. No. But that's only a joke, right? She really is a treasure, isn't she? She's in so many ways. And a woman and a wife is a treasure, right, to us, and receives favor from the Lord. I receive favor from the Lord. If you're married and you have a wife, you know, you receive favor from the Lord. And there's a lot of stuff about wives in Proverbs too, right? I'm going to hit a couple things, principles to live by, okay? You want some good, you want to be not one of those people who are, Lord, Lord, I never knew you type of people. I think these type of principles will help you and insulate you from that, because it's really the basis of how we should live life. That's what I really love about Proverbs. So be generous. I think we got a lot of generous people in this church. I know we have a lot of generous people in this church. I've experienced generosity from them, and hopefully they've, you know, there's been a reciprocal way there, but not only generous to us here, but also outside in the community too, wherever we go. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So honor the Lord with your wealth. Well, I'm not a wealthy person. Well, hey, if you got a dollar in the bank, you've got wealth. So everybody here has wealth to some degree, right? And you honor God with that. And there's many ways to do that. You know, it's not just by giving to the church, right? It's by helping somebody out who needs a helping hand, right? It's by maybe treating somebody for a meal or inviting somebody over your house or whatever. You know, there's many ways to honor God with the first fruits of your wealth, you know? So it's kind of like counterintuitive to the way the world would say you should live, because the world would say, you know, hoard up your wealth and, you know, buy, you know, more and more and more and bigger and better. And, you know, if those things increase, it says, you know, don't trust in them. In the Proverbs, in the Psalms, it says that if wealth or riches increase, do not trust in them, right? But, you know, there's a balance there. You know, God wants to bless you and your family, but he also wants you to be a blessing to everybody else you come in contact with. So that's something to live by, is to be generous, right? Now, here's a really good thing, which is in lack nowadays, mega lack. So we're going to take a mega dose of being teachable right now. I got some scriptures here, right here. Having a teachable heart is huge, 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 huge. You know, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. So just as a father will discipline his son. Like, a father who is not a good father will just let his kids do whatever they want to do and let them get away with it. And, you know, we've seen this even in examples in the Bible where children, like, who was it, Samuel, with his two sons who were they were priests, right? And they did horrendous stuff, and he never corrected them, which is mind-boggling. You know, I hope he repented in the end, because he was used by God a lot. But, I mean, they were, like, you know, having sex with women in the temple, or, you know, they were embezzling money from people. I mean, there were the priests that the father put into place, in power there. So, you know, there's examples in the Bible of that stuff, and we have to be careful too. I'm not saying beat your kids, right? But you are to discipline your children when they're going off, and God disciplines us. And whenever that correction comes, you have a decision to make, you know, whether to accept it or whether to reject it. I once heard, and this is more like from a secular type of thing. I'm sure Dave reads so many things about leadership and books. I'm sure you heard this too. But, like, if you ever received any criticism or feedback, like, you know, you should listen to it seriously, even if you think it's totally crazy. I'm not like that. I don't do that. Because you always say there's some level of truth in there too. So it's always good to think about yourself. You know, as we were saying before, we always can improve, right? There's always something we could do better. Like when Dave was challenging us, are we living the mission of the corporation, right? are we building the kingdom of God? I think we are, but yeah, of course we always could be doing better and more, right? And even there's balance too. But, you know, when discipline comes, when correction comes, and even, like, you know, when you hear it today, like some of these words, right, you'll hear it. And you should examine yourself, right? That self-analysis is really critical, you know. It's really trying to see, you know, is it in me, you know. Like when the disciples, is it I, Lord, is it I? You know, someone's going to, you know, somebody's going to you know, turn against the Lord, you know, and that Last Supper, and the disciples were, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? You know, so, you know, we should always be examining ourselves, right? Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. So if you have wisdom, it's better for you to live life. You know, there's so many examples, and it says in Proverbs, like, you know, better to have, like, you know, I think it said, like, something like vegetables than a big meal if you're living in a righteous way, right, or a wise way. You know, it doesn't matter the amount of materiality that you have if you're not living a godly life, because it's like, as Solomon said in the end of Ecclesiastes, it's vanity and vexation of spirit. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. It's no better way to live life than to live it God's ways. You are a sweet-smelling perfume when you're walking on this earth, when you're walking in God's ways. Because everywhere you go, you bless everybody. At work, your family, any relationship, you know? Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. I want to be a ambassador of peace, not an ambassador of, you know, disruption or conflict, you know, or whatever, fill in the blank, right? I want to be an ambassador because that's, you know, we're ambassadors of Christ, right? We're ambassadors of the kingdom. All her paths are peace. I want to point something out here in a bit. So Proverbs 15 says, plans fail for lack of counsel. You ever got a big decision to make? Ask for advice, right? Just don't think you know it all, right? If you think you know it all, you're being a fool. And we're going to talk a little bit about folly in a little bit. But with many advisors, they succeed. You know, you take all the advice, you pray about it, you ponder it, and then you ask God to give you wisdom, and you'll make the best possible decision. So you don't have a teachable heart if you think you know everything and you're not willing to ask for advice of somebody. All right. Proverbs speaks a lot about adultery and folly. One thing I realized, this is one of the things that I never really saw this before, but when it speaks about adultery, it is speaking about the physical act of adultery, but it's also speaking about adultery against God's direction. So think about that when I'm reading this, right? It's not just I'm cheating on my husband or wife, right? It is I'm cheating on God, and I'm cheating on God's way because I am not living the way he wants me to live. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey. Sounds really good. You know, it sounds tantalizing, right? And her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. When you don't live life according to God's way, where does it bring you? It brings you to the grave, right? It brings death. It doesn't bring peace. She gives no thought to the way of her life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. And then, my sons, listen to me and do not turn aside from what I say. So, yes, the physical act of adultery is something we should avoid. And it sounds good, and it might sound good, but in the end, you know, it leads to destruction. It leads to ruin. And, you know, whenever you sin, you just don't, it just doesn't affect you. It affects everybody around you. So, you know, if you have a family and you, like, cheat on your wife, it's not just your wife that's being affected. It's your children, too, right? And so sin has multiple effects, just like the blessings of God have multiple effects, right? So this is why these things are really good to think about, right, and to say. And even not living according to God's way and will is like adultery or folly. Keep to a path far from her, from the adulteress, right? Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to the one who is cruel. Because you know what? All these things that are going on out there that sound good and we know that are not right, we align ourselves with that. It brings us to ruin, right? All these crazy things that are going on out there that we're seeing that we never even would have thought of in the past that are out there. And when we align ourselves with those things, we're basically, you know, giving up our dignity to those things. There comes a time when you do have to speak up and say, this is not, I'm not aligning with this. I'm sorry, cannot do it. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil and enrich the house of another. at the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. I think I heard Dave mention discipline this morning, right? You know, disciplining ourselves is important, right? Disciplining us in spiritual discipline, right? Coming here, you know, hearing the Word of God here, but also reading the Word of God every day, getting it into your spirit, getting it into your soul. It's a discipline, right? It's necessary, right? You cannot, you know, if you play any sport, you cannot just show up. You have to practice before you do that. Otherwise, you're going to, like, you know, fail miserably. It's not going to go good for you. Same thing goes in the spiritual life, you know, in the spiritual walk. You're going to say in the end, if you go down this route and you don't make a course correction, in the end, why was I so foolish? Why was I so undisciplined? And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. You know, stick to your own, you know, what you've got in front of you, because it's good what you've got. We just read that first verse, the one I was kind of joking around about my wife. You know, you find a good thing, don't go off of it, right? Don't try to, you know, go in a different direction, because you already got a good thing. You know, continue to, you know, drink that running water. Don't go drink another spring, because if your springs will overflow in the streets. When you're foolish, when you don't live according to God's ways, it becomes evident to everybody, right? You know, if somebody who is really walking in God's ways and then they get off track, like if you really, that's not like that person. What's going on? Why is that? You know, you ever notice that? Like somebody who is a godly person and then they get off track, you're like, how could they? Why did they? You know, it's all over the place. It's spilled all over the place in the streets. Your streams of water in the public squares. Should your springs overflow in the streets? Your streams of water in the public square? Should everybody see your stupidity for not following God's way? When you have something that, like, that has been handed to you that's so precious and you just, like, throw it away, it's evident to everybody and it's all over the place, right? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers, right? What God has given you, you know, it should just be for you. For your ways are in full view of the Lord. So, you know, sometimes you think you're getting away with something, and you're never getting away with something, because God sees, he knows, and you know, too, because it's still somewhere, in, you know, until you confess it and get it out, right? And he examines all your paths, the evil deeds of the wicked, and snare them. So all this wickedness that's going on, people get caught up in it, they're going to get ensnared. They are getting ensnared. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die. Led astray by their own great folly. Yeah, think about that. Lack of discipline, they will die. So, you know, again, stick straight God's way. So now I'm going to talk about folly. So, you know, the adulterous, it speaks about the adulterous woman. So a lot of these things, it's about the female. It's the female. God's using that for wisdom. He also says, seek her out. Interesting, right? Also, the adulteress, it's a woman too, right? It's a female. But it's still, you know, you have these options here right before you, and it's the same here. So what is folly? It speaks about the lack of good sense, understanding, or foresight, an act or instance of foolishness, a costly undertaking having an absurd or ruinous outcome. That's what folly is. It seems like it's exactly the opposite of wisdom, doesn't it? That's what folly, but the book of Proverbs speaks a lot about folly. And here, folly is an unruly woman. Here it is speaking about a woman again, right? But it's really like, just like wisdom is a woman, folly is a woman. It's your choice, you know, to what you're going to go after, right? What do you want? She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. So, you know, when you're embracing folly, you're becoming simple. You're not wise. You're unlearned. You're forsaking what you've learned and you're embracing a foolish way, right? A foolish direction. To those who have no sense, she says, come in. It's also interesting, it's the highest point of the city, right? So it's like, you know, I was thinking about the highest point of the city, like how do you get your information? Where do you get your information from, right? That's the highest point of the city. And the same thing, I get it from watching Fill in the Blanks or listening to Fill in the Blanks. You know, you'll hear folly coming across those airwaves to you. Are you going to embrace folly or will you take the path of wisdom? Will you take God's direction? A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord, right? Folly is going against God's way. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Two things here, right? Patience is also lacking a lot nowadays, too. Whenever you feel to, you know, you're waiting for something to happen and you want it and you jump into it without thinking about it, it usually doesn't end up good for you, right? It doesn't end up good for you. So patience is something that we should have. If you have something before you, you're waiting for something, you need to wait for it patiently, right? And also ponder, you know, what's God's ways for this. But one who is quick-tempered displays folly. You know, if you respond to things very quickly without thinking about it or what are the consequences of what I'm about to say, that's a foolish thing to do, and it usually turns into ruin. Folly brings joy to the one who has no sense. Seems good at the time, right? It seems like it's a lot of fun, but in the end, whoever has understanding keeps a straight course. See, this is that thing that keeps you on the rails. Keep a straight course, right? It's one of the things God's saying to us today. Keep a straight course. You know the way to go. Don't go off to the right or to the left. All who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. It becomes evident to everybody. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. It seems like when people are espousing, you know, paths that are contrary to God's way, it is such folly. I know Dave spoke recently about that they wanted to use AI to like rewrite the Bible to fix it, you know? That's foolishness. That folly becomes obvious to everybody, right? That's just one example. Fools give full vent to their rage. You know, when outbreaks of anger, it speaks about, like, when you're angry, very, 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 very rarely is it helpful to have an outbreak of anger, right? There might be an occasional instance, like when Jesus turned over the money changer tables, but that was like one time in the Bible, right? I mean, we forget about all the other things. Sometimes people just fixate on that. Oh yeah, this is the way, you know, Jesus did it, why didn't I? No, he healed many, many people. He preached many, many messages about forgiveness and mercy and love. And that one event, the people were just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna embrace that because that's what I wanna do. I wanna justify my outbreak of anger, you know, or rage. But the wise brings calm in the end, right? Blessed are the what? Peacemakers. For they shall see the kingdom of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, not rage makers. Control yourself, discipline yourself, right? Good stuff. Okay. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun. Hey, guess what? You guys are like the morning sun. You know, we like to see the sun in the morning. Don't you like to see the sun in the morning? It's nice and shiny. It makes me feel good, you know, when the sun's out, right? Shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. When it's dark and you can't see your way, you're going to trip over stuff. When you're not following God's ways, it's easy to stumble. It's easy to get tripped up. It's easy to fall into even deeper darkness and sin. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life God's words are life. Say that with me. God's words are life. It's like eating something good. It's like eating something good, and it makes you stronger, and it builds you up, and it prevents you from getting into all types of craziness that's going to, man, I just, when I think about the way I used to live, you know, and the way that I know now how to live, it's like, I thank you, Lord, for keeping me out of all of this destruction that I would have brought myself and my family to. Because, you know, when I turn to God's words, it's a light to my path, as it says in Proverbs, right? My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Ponder them. Keep them in your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What you, how a man thinks is, you know, how they are, right? How you think is how you are, you know? You're God's children. You are the morning sun. I like that. Children of the light. So guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. You know, when tearing people down or you're hearing, you know, unclean words coming out of your mouth should never happen, right? Never happen. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Again, it's like, you know, staying on the rails, staying straight ahead, being disciplined, following God's ways. Does God hate? It says so in Proverbs, right? You know, we got God is love, right? But it also says that God hates certain stuff. Did you know that? He hates things. What are the things that God hates? I'll tell you 6 things. No, I'm going to tell you 7. I don't know why it's written like that, but it's kind of interesting. I cut your attention there, didn't it? 6 things that God hates. No, 7 things that God hates. So Solomon must have been thinking about this stuff. The Lord hates, these things are detestable to him. Haughty eyes. Hey, look at me. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You know, it's like thinking who you are, right? Thinking that you're better than somebody else or looking down on people, right? Like haughty eyes. A lying tongue. I know this is true, but I'm going to say this anyway because it's going to make me look better. God hates that. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'll go back to that abortion thing, you know? Innocent blood. How can you? How can you? And so nobody in this room ever performed an abortion, right? But maybe you've aligned with people who have supported that, right? Politically or other ways, or didn't say something when somebody was, you know, asking for advice, maybe. What should I do? I'm pregnant. What should I do with this baby? Hey, why don't you go see, what's the name of the crisis pregnancy place in First Choice? Why don't you go to First Choice here in Jersey City? We support them. They'll give you advice. They'll show you on ultrasound that that's an actual living being inside of you, and you're not going to want to have it destroyed. But that's innocent blood. You know, a lot of times when you read this, we think about it's just you're committing murder on the street, but there's other ways that you can, you know, shed innocent blood. A heart that desires wicked schemes, just in general, you know. Feet that are quick to rush to evil. Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to go over here. We know that's not right. You're running towards it. Run towards God. Don't run towards things that are evil. False witness who pours out lies. And a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That's something that, you know. What community are we talking about? Jersey City? Yeah, Jersey City. But also your family community, your work community, your friends community, you know? You stirring up conflict there? Or are you that peacemaker type of person that we were just talking about, right? So God does hate certain things. Okay. Last slide before declarations. I have a couple of declarations. I really like this a lot. In the book of Micah, Micah. I remember when Paula had Micah, I was like, we're not telling the names, right? I'm like saying all these biblical names. She's like, I'm not telling you the name. I'm not going to tell you the name. I probably said Micah too, I bet. No, you wouldn't.
Everything but Micah.
Right.
Gertrude.
Anyway. Gertrude. Hey, there might be a Gertrude here. Micah 6:8. This is pretty awesome. What does God want from you today? What does he want from you? What are you doing here this morning? Why are you in this place? Why am I in this place? Why do I come to this place? I'll tell you why you come here. Oh, mortal. I'll tell you what God wants of you. What is good? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. Selah. Think about that. Ponder it. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's really good. So, in conclusion, discipline yourself. Stay on the rails. Remember what is good, what God requires of you, right? If you all would stand up with me, I wrote a couple of these declarations. And if you want to say them with me, if you could just repeat them with me. My default is generosity. I have a teachable spirit. I will prosper because I am living according to God's ways. I will fix my eyes on God and follow his ways. Amen.